The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faustamai, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line. Open line on Manx Radio through till one today. I don't know about you, have you driven along Douglas Promenade today? There was a big shovel earlier on, moving the beach along. I mean, not somebody with a shovel, but, you know, a big one. An industrial-sized thing, like a JCB shoveling the sand across. Now, I wonder what that is. Is it beach cleaning? Is it beach management? They're not surely getting ready to put the groins back, are they? Well, perhaps we'll find out. On yesterday, Aaron Michael MHKs and some interesting points regarding coastal erosion. And if you're on the west of the Isle of Man, particularly north of Peel, where the sandstone kicks in right round the north of the Isle of Man, you'll know all about that. Mr. Johnson said it's about a metre a year. A metre a year, is it? It's just disappearing. So, quite what, they both agreed, Mr. Cannon and Mr. Johnson agreed, it's millions of pounds to save the west coast of the Isle of Man north of Peel. Is it worth it? Well, I guess if it's your land, you think it's worth it, but stuff is just disappearing. Any thoughts on that? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. 26 years ago, October 1998, I first started hosted Man in Line 28 years ago. And one of the big hot topics then was, is the Isle of Man going to get its own Bergerac? Bergerac was on television on the BBC, the crime drama set in Jersey, starring John Nettles, for 10 years, 1981 to 1991. It was sold all over the world. It was part funded by an Australian TV company as well. And it was fantastic publicity. I mean, it was all about murders and crime and theft and what have you. But it was John Nettles starring as Jim Bergerac in the Bureau des Etrangers, the Foreigner's Office, fictional department. Well, apparently it's set to come back after more than 30 years. It was last seen on screen. But Bergerac, there were 87 episodes. You probably see it now. It's all over satellite television now with John Nettles looking very young. But they reckon it's going to be a reboot with a new face in the title role. David Tennant is being pitched. Also, Aidan Turner, the guy who's in Poldark, and James Norton from Happy Valley have all been linked with it. John Nettles is 80 now, so he maybe will have a cameo role. So, 26 years ago, we were talking about an Isle of Man Bergerac. Well, at that time, the Film Commission was going great guns, and we never managed it then. The Jersey government, apparently, is putting in £1.8 million to help move the whole thing along. So it'll be interesting to see. But it was mentioned 26 years ago. I just wonder whether you think the time has passed or whether or not it's something that the government should look at. The TV and film bus seems to have moved on from the Isle of Man, so I just wonder what you think. Anyway, that's it. Bergerac apparently is coming back. It's I don't know whether it's going to be one of the big streamers or whether it'll be on what they call linear television, but we'll see. Text, email, call on WhatsApp. What do you think? Bergerac coming back? Did you enjoy it? Did you hear this morning the Treasury Minister was on the breakfast show on Manx Radio? The Isle of Man Treasury Minister has ruled out cutting national insurance here. The UK is reducing NI by 2p, costing the government there £10 billion a year. Dr. Allenson says the UK Chancellor has basically set out an election budget. But got any thoughts on that? Text, email, call, WhatsApp. Wilf's first on today. Hi, Wilf.
Hi, I just heard you mention about Bergerac.
Yes.
I just happen to have a Bergerac car in my garage down below me, down below the flat. It's been in there for 20 years or more.
What was it? An old Austin or something, wasn't it?
No. It's a Triumph.
Oh, yes.
The same car as what he used to drive in his, what you call it, in his thing on the television.
And what condition's your Triumph in?
Very good.
Is it a goer?
The only thing is, it's one of the first things I put in my garage. My garage is 80 foot long. It's one of the first things, but now I can't get it out.
See.
I've got that much junk behind, but I can't get it out.
When was the last time you took it out?
When I put it in.
Oh, good grief. Wealth.
About 30 years ago. Anyway, that's besides the point. It's nice and dry and everything, so it's okay. My son will make money out of it. Because he'll have to clear it all out when I'm snuffing. You were talking about erosion.
Yeah.
I can tell you a little bit about erosion on my side, on the south side. On Shallag.
Yeah.
It happened. There was no cliffs at Shallag. This old fella, 80-odd, told me. It was his job as a kid to go down to get the cattle back off the beach, because it was just an easy big grass slope right down to the beach, and the cattle used to go down to eat the seaweed, get the salt. And he said that when the salt works arrived in Ramsey, and they decided to do that, the gravel used to be a huge bank all the way from Ramsey all the way to the Point of Ayre. And that's all disappeared because they got a load of navvies in from Ireland, because they put the pipeline on the beach. There was no tankers and things then on the road. So they put the pipeline to pump the brine from the Point of Ayre to the salt works. And what they did, an easy way out, they pulled the gravel bank down on top of the belly of this pipeline.
Right.
And then the tide come in and took the gravel bank away. And that's how the erosion started.
So where, I mean, I'm just trying to picture it. Where were the salt works?
Salt works in Ramsey at the shipyard.
Right.
And the brine was pumped all the way from the Point of Ayre along the beach. But they have the thing was kept breaking, the line kept breaking all the time. And they had to keep down and kept fixing it all the time. Fellow sent down the beach to fix it.
I'm trying to pick.
It was all right till it was buried, but then all the gravel got washed away, and then the cliff got washed away.
Yeah, you'll know this. Is there any erosion south of the pier, past the old Shore Hotel?
South of the pier, yeah. It's eroding all fast all the time.
Because when does it?
It's only about at its nearest point 20 feet from the Bride Road.
Right.
And you never hear any talk about that, but sometime they're going to end up having to do something serious along there.
20 feet?
It's only, yeah, in one place there, it's about 20 feet from the actual Bride Road.
Mm.
So it's pretty bad. The other thing I wanted to ask was, what time are you going to be at the pier?
Tomorrow. Well, we're live on air from 12 till 1, so the kettle's going to be on tomorrow.
Right.
Why? Are you going to be along with us tomorrow, Wolf?
Because I'm supposed to meet you there.
Oh, good.
To show you the state of our beach, South Beach.
Well, I'll get there I'll get there just after 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'll meet you there,
Will. So what I'll do, I will fetch a pair of binoculars, and you can view it then from the pier.
Yeah.
Right in, out onto the South Beach. And I'll also fetch you some photographs of what it should look like. And since I've been talking to you about the state of the South Beach, I said the last resort, I would put our ministers on the job. And I've been talking to Alex Allenson, and he said he would look into it. So hopefully he'll get something done.
Well, hopefully Dr. Allenson's going to be at the broadcast tomorrow as well. The great and the good. We're all going to be there tomorrow, Wilf.
That's it.
Right.
Well, I don't know about me being great and good.
No, I think
you might be, not me.
No, we all
I've
know.
I've never been good.
all right. Thanks, Wilf.
All right. Okay.
16 minutes past 12. Charlie's on now. Hi, Charlie.
Hi. coastal erosion of the north.
Yeah.
I put a proposal to a visitor for the prison one time. He was looking for work things for the prisoners, because at one time I used to have prisoners working on jobs with me to do manual work. Now, I suggested, as the government have the moulds for the scabbards that they built the pier with in Douglas, in a warehouse in Ramsey, Airside Derby, why couldn't the prisoners make scabbards? And they could be put up the coastline to break up the surf.
Oh, and you say the moulds for the scabbards, are they still at Derby?
Well, that's what I heard they were. No, probably some civil servants probably had them destroyed. But the answer came back, Rosie, what's her name? She was the governor at that time. Rosie something. They couldn't do it because of health and safety.
Oh, I see.
Well, I thought that was a load of bull at the time.
So do you think, do you think we are, should we hold nature back on the West Coast, Charlie?
Well, from Glenmore round to Mackles, that's all glacier deposit in any case.
Yeah.
It was put there by the glaciers melting. Basically, we're going to end up the same shape as Anglesey, if it all goes, aren't we?
Well, I mean, the decision has to be made. They were talking, the MHKs were talking yesterday and saying it's going to be millions. I mean, well, let's be honest about this.
I know, but the thing is, how many millions of pounds worth of food have produced at the on the airs?
Yeah, true. No.
Wheat.
But I mean, Charlie, somebody's got to make the decision, haven't they? An MHK or a minister's got to say, we're going to do this. We are going to save that coastline from, as you say, from Glenmore upwards. But it is going to cost millions. And of course, whatever it costs at the beginning, it'll cost a lot more at the end.
They've been told about that since I was a kid. When I used to go down to Glenwillan as a kiddie on this Sunday school trips, you were 500 or 600 feet further out in the sea.
Yeah.
You had a boating lake there. And if you had 2 and 6 in your pocket in the 50s, you're a millionaire for the day out in Port Sudbury.
Okay. All right, Charlie, thanks for that. Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in today. Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hi there. Yes. Coastal erosion. Well, this is what some of the Climate Change Transformation Fund is for. Because part of what the millions within the Climate Change Transformation Fund covers is what's termed mitigation and adaptation. Now, a lot of that will be in terms of coastal defences and flood protection. So it will be, I think, a question of Department of Infrastructure or DEFA or both or whomever to actually say to the Climate Change Transformation Board, we need X million quid for this, can we have it out of the fund?
I don't know enough about this subject, Bonzo, but I mean, obviously, if you put flood defences or if you put coastal defences in one place, it basically shifts the impact to another place. So we could end up shuttering the whole of the north of the Isle of Man, surely.
Well, it also depends how you shutter it, whether it then puts the pressure on somewhere that can handle it, i.e. a large cliff face or some such. But yes, the airs have been reclaimed and they're going to be difficult to defend. But some of, as I say, the climate change funds are actually there for that purpose.
So who do you think, what politician is going to be brave enough to say we'll commit to a large infrastructure project? And of course, bearing in mind Liverpool landing stage and the promenade, whatever it costs at the beginning, you can, you know, add a lot more on at the end. Is it a priority now, Bonzo?
Yes, because otherwise it gets worse and it costs more. You know, both in real terms and in money terms. So, but that is also, as I say, part of the purpose of the much maligned Climate Change Transformation Fund. And I'm sure that both the Chief Minister and the Minister of the Department for Enterprise, who you were talking to yesterday, would be very enthusiastic about such a project.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Bonzo.
Okay, then. Thanks. Bye.
To hear from you. John Dogg's with us now. Hello.
Fast am I. First thing I'll say is I'm not an expert. But I live in Michael. And the problem, I did a course on landscape interpretation, so I know a little tiny bit about a thing. The problem we've got in Michael is it's called longshore drift. And every wave, the waves seem to come from Peel and go up on the shore at an angle towards the point and then return directly down. So what's happening is it's rock all the way to Glenmuir. And then from then on, we've got sands and gravels. And from there on, all the little grains of sand with every wave that comes in are going up the beach at an angle towards the point and then returning back down. So they're zigzagging along the shore from Glenmuir all the way to the point. So this stuff is zigzagging along, and the, what would you call it, the water, that in the end there's nothing there for the waves to move. It's not as like that. So the cliff has to fall to compensate that. So if you built a wall all the way from Glenmuir to the point of Ayr, you'd have to dig down quite a bit. What would happen is the cliffs would stay there, but slowly all the shore would disappear towards the point, and in the end you would have a wall with water up against it. Are you following what I'm trying to say?
I am. I'm just trying to, and in my head, I'm trying to visualise what sort of politician is going to propose that, John.
Well, I'm not saying to propose building a wall. My next proposal is, this I have looked into a little bit. There was a lake in Canada, and they shifted all the sand from one shore and moved it and put it back on the shore where it come from, and within 10 years it's all back on the shore that it started from. So what you've got to do is put something out there that's going to break the surface up, stabbits or whatever they want to call them, and it disrupts the tide, and it won't stop it, but it'll delay it. So you're going to have to do something all the way along there, all the way from Glenmuir to the point, and possibly on the other side as well, from Ramsey, because there's erosion there as well. And what happens is all the sand and gravels go out to the point, and the gravel more or less stays at the point, yeah. But all the sand goes around in a big curl, and anybody knows anything out there, you've got... two or three big sandbanks, Bermuda and Bahama are two of the names, I can't remember them all, and they're sandbanks, and sometimes it's a bit like down the south of England, and a really low tide, you can almost go and stand on them, and well, they play cricket on some of them, but we've got sandbanks out there that are the sand, the small grain sand that gets washed round and then gets deposited as sandbanks, and the gravel stays on the shore, and you have gravel at the point of air going out as far as you can see.
How quickly is nature moving, John? I mean, how much has it changed over the past few years?
That I can't tell you, but I've lived in Michael since about the 1980s, where I moved to Michael, 79, I think, somewhere like that. And we used to go down, I live on Kerakroo, and you can go down the shore, down where the fish farm used to be. And I would say there's about 30 or 40 foot yards of used to go down there, and you could go out quite a long way past the fish farm and all. And that's now, there's a big house there, a fella lives in it, I'll not mention any name, but anyway, a big house there, and... you know, that there's been other houses down there. I don't know whether people remember. Used to go down and there was a house there. Next thing, it's washed away. There was a mill, I think, down there, Kerakroon Mill. And that's all gone. And it's gradually working itself in. They have put a big pile of boulders at the end of this, the road, go down past Kerakroon. But what's happened is, either side of that pile of rocks, there's nothing there. And now that pile of rocks is a headland sticking out probably about 30 or 40 yards into the sea. because that's not getting eroded, but the cliffs on either side are getting washed away. And in the end, that's going to go out, and then we're going to get a big storm one time that's going to go in behind, and we're going to have a pile of rocks out in the sea with nothing behind it.
I'm saying this, just to repeat,
I'm not an expert, but I just know from my experience, going down there and looking and seeing what's happening, and doing a little tiny bit on erosion and so on. Longshore drift is your problem.
Yeah, well, I'm below you on the expert stage, let me tell you, because I know even less than you do. What I do know is that nature's very hard to beat, and to beat nature costs an absolute fortune, John. So this is going to cost an awful lot of money.
You can't beat nature. You've got to work with it. As I say, putting groins out there or piles of big stones and all would slow it down, but it wouldn't stop it. And as I said, if you went now and spent thousands, millions on digging down and putting a wall in where the cliffs are now, that would stop it washing the cliffs away, but it would wash all the sand in front of that wall away, the end... the sea would be at, it'd be like something going out into the bay now, there's water on either side, you know, any of these keys and all. There'd be no beach at all, no shore.
Okay. I appreciate that, John. Thanks for calling today.
That's only my 6 pence worth. See ya.
All right, and very worthwhile it is as well. Thanks also. Oh, God, Jeffrey dropped a note in. You may remember yesterday we were talking to Aaron Michael MHKs, and the subject of the Balacob estate came up, and the fact that Mr. Cannon was talking about the fact it was a charity, and apparently now the DHSC. Is the DHSC... Now, we're trying to find out, they're trying to get to the bottom of this, and thanks to the person who alerted to this yesterday. So, Jeffrey just said, is it right that Manx Care is taking over the Balacob estate? So, how is the government letting... Well, we understand it was a charity, and now that charity is relinquishing it, I hope I'm right in saying that. But we'll find out more. Wouldn't it be wonderful, says Malcolm, if one of our wealthiest residents established a fund so the unique and historic sites on the Isle of Man could be registered before it's too late, says 820. And a message also just saying, well, there are many wealthy people who live on the northwest of the Isle of Man. Why don't they pay to mitigate the coastal erosion? I'm sure some of them have tried. I mean, you can't just do it. You have to have permission to protect your property, but... As it stands at the moment, and bearing in mind, this is, in terms of the Isle of Man, if you like, as a whole, it's a small problem. It affects very few people in the northwest of the Isle of Man, but it's big in that it affects the structure and the shape and the size of the Isle of Man. Coastal erosion is big, obviously, from Mackall down the bottom of the Isle of Man, right round up until the other side to Peel. We're talking about limestone, so that doesn't erode. But from the north of Peel, hence the red cliffs right round the top of the Isle of Man, back down to Mackall, we're talking about sandstone, glacial sandstone. So that's the whole issue. And it's just getting... worse, really. I'm in Malaga and there's a massive film festival going on. Where did we go wrong with the Isle of Man Film Commission? Well, it came. It kind of blazed its trail, didn't it, for a few years. Now, really gone. I think the ground was taken from underneath us. We offered financial incentives to many film and TV productions and they came. Some were successful. Some weren't. Lots of people got jobs as extras. Lots of people were drivers. Some people actually appeared in films. But we don't do it anymore. This is just a story that Bergerac looks like it's coming back on Jersey. The Jersey government's throwing in just under £2 million, which in terms of a TV or film production is absolute peanuts. But it is a pump primer, and the name Bergerac still resonates right around the world. It's on TV all the time, on satellite, on reruns, and it was really popular in Australia. John Nettles is 80, so he isn't going to be in it. I think Terence Alexander, Charlie Hungerford is no longer with us. But I think Celia Imrie was in it for a while. Anyway, you got any thoughts on that? It was big, as I say, when I started 26 years ago on Manx Radio, we were talking about the Manx Bergerac then, and nothing's been done. Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Bergerac, actually. I used to like watching that. I liked the cars as well. I liked his Jag, and yeah, it was a very interesting series, I think, well written. Coastal erosion. We've got a couple of good experts on the island that could sort this out. With seagrasses, they had very interesting test done in Virginia off the coast, and they found that waves could be attenuated by a half, so 50% reduction in the wave strength using seagrasses. And I think Michelle Hayward, you know, she's an excellent scuba diver, and I'm pretty sure that she's had something to do with that on the island. And I think Rowan Henthorne as well is an absolute expert on all to do with this type of getting seagrasses established and trying to slow it down. So that might be a bit more of a, you know, a kind of a ecologically more interesting way of doing it. And you start getting seahorses and all sorts of things appearing when you have seagrasses growing in large amounts.
It'd be nice to know. And the thing is, anything that saves us money, because the moment you talk about, I mean, I've just got visions in my mind of government committees and experts coming from here, there and everywhere, and millions of pounds and things being lumped onto the beach. Surely in the 21st century we can come up with another idea. Surely, as John was saying, let's work with nature to do something about it, because sure as anything, you know, by the time the Man in Line's finished today, a bit more will have gone.
Well, yeah, but you know, it's nature. I beg to differ with the idea that there's a climate emergency, as you know so well. And, you know, the Maldives are still there when not 20 years ago they were saying that they would be disappearing by 2013. So as far as I know, people are still going to the Maldives on holiday. By the way, as an earner, you know the UNESCO biosphere status that we've got here. Well, you could capitalise on that further, because a big tourist draw is being a World Heritage site. So if we went for that as well, I mean, you know, you look at the places that have that moniker of World Heritage site, they get big money coming in from tourism. So they'd be queuing up with the cruise ships to come and have a look at a World Heritage site, I would have thought.
Well, let's hope so.
Right. A catch up on a few comments that were made a few days ago on the Man in Line about the international health amendments, the regulations. Just before I do that, I'm kind of connecting the dots here a bit. I'd like to mention a news article about a woman called Kayla Pollock, spelt like the fish, Kayla, K-A-Y-L-A, easily found, reasonably unique name. A 37-year-old mother who, right after having a Moderna booster, collapsed and is now a paraplegic confined to a special wheelchair. And unbelievably, has been asked twice by the Canadian government if she wants assisted dying because of her lifestyle change. And this kind of ties in with my concerns about the upcoming changes to the international health regulations in May. And then you've got the forthcoming pandemic treaty that will interlock with that. That would basically allow unelected European bureaucrats to mandate health measures like COVID injections to people on the Isle of Man. And potentially, like this poor lady, Kayla Pollock in Canada, vaccine-injured people on the Isle of Man may be offered assisted dying in the future if the bill is passed. And similarly, before her was Christine Gauthier, the paraplegic ex-military lady who was waiting for a wheelchair stairlift to be fitted in her house, and she was offered assisted dying because they said that they couldn't afford to give her a wheelchair lift.
Yeah, and you were saying this is happening in Canada.
Yes. Who, of course, got royal assent to have, for example, their medical assistance in dying, or MAID, as they call it.
Yeah.
I think they had to put the word in the acronym, otherwise it would have been MAD, wouldn't it? So they ended up with MAID, although in Australia they have VAD because it doesn't have the same connotations.
So, I mean, just to reiterate, I think are you against the proposed assisted dying legislation on the Isle of Man?
I can see why. We've had this discussion many times. I can quite see how people can come to the conclusion, but I think you have to take the emotion out of it, unfortunately, because I can see it's a very emotive and emotional topic. But you have to, you can't just say the one, you have to look at all the potential consequences of doing it.
And you've mentioned in the past that you're concerned about secondary legislation coming in and also the various metrics in it and the measurements slipping and changing.
That's right. You know, you don't know. No government can be held down by, you know, a future government can't be held. You know, you can change whatever you like if you want. I mean, that was kind of what I was saying yesterday about, you know, bringing chicken production on the island and actually getting rid of some regulations, because I think it's the build up of regulations that's eroded how farmers make money. Because if you pile the regulations on, you then end up with them not being able to do anything without giving them subsidies. Well, that's kind of the wrong way round. You know, everything should be allowed to thrive. But, you know, the thing that is concerning me with the international health regulations, I mean, I think you asked the other day about any kind of details. Look, I'll just run through just a handful of them. Article 1, the words non-binding will be removed if this is allowed to stand in May when they alter it. And this is just an alteration. This is like an opt-out. It's a bit like organ donation. Unless you say you don't want this, this is going in May. So Article 1, non-binding. Any use of those words is removed, which kind of says it's going to be binding. Article 2, public health risk is being replaced with the words all risks. Article 3 removes the very important clause, with full respect for the dignity, human rights and fundamental freedom of persons. Why would you remove that sentence? Why would you not have full respect for the dignity, human rights and fundamental freedom of persons? Mm. Article 10 is removal of the clause, taking into account the view of the state party concerned. Well, that would be Timwolf, wouldn't it, for us? So they're going to remove that clause saying that the state party is not going to be included.
Okay.
The views.
And for new listeners, who is it who's proposing this?
The World Health Organization.
Okay. And is that binding for the Isle of Man if it's signed?
Well, I did ask this question to Jane Paul Wilson a while ago, and she wasn't really au fait with it. I'm hoping that she's had a little look at it.
I know we didn't get an answer on the day, and you know, the thing is that the World Health Organization is kind of held up. I mean, it depends. There are varying opinions about the WHO that it's some sort of overarching beneficial thing for good. It's for the good of mankind, and some people see it quite the other thing. So, well, we'll wait and see. And when's this supposed to be happening?
I think it's May the 24th is the actual change point. My problem with the WHO is the sponsorship of it, the donations now, 84% of the money going into the WHO is from private funders like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and their secondary Gavi entity. So he's one of the highest donations. So you've got private individuals who, of course, you know, who pays the ferryman, you know, that they're going to do what they're told by the people who donate the most. So, you know, you then see that he's taking over huge swathes of land in America for farming. He's also massively into insect production for food. He's also into vaccinations around the world. So, you know, you've got to kind of look at this. And they are unelected and they're mostly bureaucratic. They don't have much in the way of actual medical knowledge. So,
all right. OK, Julian, we appreciate that. Are you going to be with us? Are you going to be with us tomorrow at the Queen's Pier?
It just so happens I'll be in the north tomorrow, so I will pop by and say hello.
Thanks. Good to see you. It'll be good to see you. It's 20 to 1 now.
The Ginger Hall has it all. Check out the new restaurant, now open, at the Ginger Hall Hotel, where you'll find a fantastic range of food, from classic winter warmer bistro-style dishes to delicious Sunday specials and great celebration meals. Don't delay. Book now on 897-231. Or visit our Facebook page for all our opening times, pictures and full menus. You'll even find details on our live music and more. The Ginger Hall really does have it all.
Will Gummert here today?
All her friends thought Kerry was going to be a right bridezilla. She was so determined that everything had to be totally perfect. But they needn't have worried, because Cornister Bank had Kerry's back.
Do you, Kerry, have the Cornister feeling?
I so do. Wedding finance with a 3-month honeymoon period before payments start. Visit conistabank.co.im and you can get the Conister feeling too. All loans are subject to status, terms and conditions apply. Early settlement fees apply.
Got some spare time on your hands? You could help our environment, help the elderly, help our children, help animals, help our community. It's Volunteers Week, and if you've ever thought about becoming a volunteer and would like to find a role that suits your interests, come along to the Volunteer Recruitment Event, sponsored by Douglas Rotary Club, this Saturday, 10 till 2pm, with free refreshments inside the garden room at the Sefton Hotel. Whatever your interest, become a volunteer. We'll help you find a great match.
After snatching a late victory last weekend, FC Isle of Man will be out to take maximum points once more when they return to NWCFL Premier Division action this weekend. They face a tricky test of the bowl on Saturday against Longridge Town, who put 5 goals past the Ravens on Manx soil last season. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Tony Meppen for FC Isle of Man versus Longridge Town, kicking off at 6pm this Saturday. Manx Radio will be providing full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels. Live coverage of FC Isle of Man on Manx Radio is supported by Selton, investing in our community.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
18 minutes before one now on 618 says, Andy, look, the good thing is that the point of air is getting closer to Scotland. That's why they've had to build another foghorn. Yes, anything that's being eroded on the west is landing on the north there. It is true, the point of air is a lot further out than it used to be. What should be a bigger worry is Bride Tip being exposed before coastal erosion anywhere else. It won't be long before the sea starts washing the whole tip away. Well, there was a case in the past, I think, where some rubbish was washed out to sea. Surely, if they move the stones from Douglas and Laxey Beach, they could build them sea defences somewhere else where it's needed. It's cheap. Even if it has to be done again in the future, it's not rocket science, says Will. And John Dog's right, says 539. Groins, just Douglas Beach had them placing along the coast. We need groins, that's it. Placing along the coast to the Ayres to break up the waves. Utilise the gabion built of the stone. Easy job for the inmates of Jerby to pick up. I don't think you can do that nowadays. I don't think you can march them out of Jerby to be doing that. But anyway, you can have a look. That's what's happening on Douglas Beach. It was because there's a big digger on Douglas Beach, and it just prompted the coastal erosion chat that we were having yesterday with the Air and Michael MHKs. It won't happen, says Steve. We won't be getting that Manx detective story. Just the story that Bergerac is coming back, apparently. They're making Bergerac again. It was on TV 1981 to 1991. It was really popular. And I think, to the best of my reason, it all happened because of Trevor Eve. Trevor Eve was the actor who played Eddie Shoestring in Shoestring, and Trevor Eve just decided he was going to finish it. He just decided he had enough and didn't want to be typecast as Eddie Shoestring, the kind of flawed detective who turned up doing a radio show. So they created Bergerac. Again, quite flawed because he was an alcoholic. It was very, very big, just as Shoestring had been big before. Why don't we pull the millions of tons of shingle off the Douglas Beach and make concrete stabbits out of it, then just put them on the west, says Kingo. Is that the way to do? That'll be interesting to see. Where are the moulds for the stabbits? I mean, the stabbits just down below us here on Douglas Head are very, very effective at breaking up the southwesterly. So we'll see. Fran says, why should we invest in the film or TV industry when the last attempt lost £26 million? Kate Beecroft, MHK, pressed for the answer as to where it went. I think Mr. Tier answered that, Eddie Tier, the then Treasury Minister, as to what happened. And we are still getting money, by the way, from all our productions, what's called the production tail or the finance tail of programmes and films, brings money in. So every time something is sold, money will come to us. So money does happen, and the finances of the film and television industry can be long and tortuous. However, it was what was called industrial tourism, theatrical tourism, in that part of the deal was, I think it was 40% of the primary shoot of any film or TV programme had to be done on the Isle of Man. And although they brought the crew over and the stars and the actors and what have you, it employed people on the Isle of Man. Lots of casual work was done, and it filled thousands of hotel nights on the Isle of Man with those actors and the crew. And we all remember, seeing famous faces up and down Douglas Promenade when Madonna stayed at the Sefton Hotel. Helena Bonham Carter was, I think she was at the Palace or the Hilton as it was then. So is it time to look at that again? I'll be honest with you, nobody mentions the film and TV industry nowadays on the Isle of Man, so perhaps nothing. How about building an old scrap super tanker and sinking it off the coast? Don't know about that. It was Bergerac had a Triumph Roadster. It was, says Chris up north. Yes, well, maybe Wilf will get his Triumph Roadster from the back of that 80-foot garage. We'll see. We'll see. So also, I just want to mention that tomorrow we are going to be live at Queen's Pier in Ramsey, live from 12 till 1. If you want to pop along, come and see us. We'll have the kettle on. There'll be something to eat there as well. Not much, but there will be a slice of cake. And if you want to come along, you can also have a wander around the pier and see where they're up to with doing the pier up, the Queen's Pier in Ramsey. But hopefully there is an election going on in Ramsey today, a commissioner's election. So if you can vote, I urge you to vote. And hopefully we'll have the winner of that by-election chatting with us on the pier at Ramsey tomorrow. And hopefully we'll see you.
Andy Wint, the nation station, makes radio.
EPS just finished painting our house and we're delighted with the result.
Very impressed with the speed, quality and standard of work.
We would recommend EPS highly.
House looks like new.
Brilliant job from start to finish.
EPS, transforming properties island-wide with a revolutionary Protex wall covering system. Guaranteed for 10 years. Visit eps.company for details. There's a waiting list, but it'll be worth it.
A good job well done.
Thank you, EPS.
Preparing to leave school soon and thinking about the future, or maybe looking to reskill? University College Isle of Man offer a variety of full and part-time further education level courses, or earn while you learn through an apprenticeship. Courses include engineering, arts, sports, hairdressing, childcare and business, plus science, forensics, animal management, healthcare and more. Earn valuable qualifications and skills that will set you up for a successful future. Visit ucm.ac.im to find your perfect course.
Life isn't always easy, and we can sometimes feel we're totally alone in our struggles. From employment issues, housing benefit complications and relationship breakdowns, to faulty goods and bad workmanship. But whatever hurdles you face, Manx Citizens Advice Service at Tie Rush and Port Erin is here to help you overcome them with free confidential support and advice and guidance on where to get the help you need. We're open each Friday from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. No appointment necessary. Alternatively, leave a message on 833-969 or email scac@manx.net and one of our team will get back to you. Citizensadvice.im. Here for you, for life.
With Mother's Day almost here, this weekend on Manx Radio, we're giving you the chance to win as we play Mum's the Word. All you have to do is listen out for ABBA's Mamma Mia. We'll play the song at some point over the weekend. And as soon as you hear it, you'll have a 10-minute window of opportunity to text the answer to a very simple Mother's Day-themed question, which you'll find on the Manx Radio Facebook page. And one lucky listener will win bed and breakfast for two at the Manin Hotel in Douglas. The big prize draw will take place with Alex on Monday afternoon from 3. So keep listening for your chance to win this Mother's Day weekend with the Manin Hotel and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
10 to 1 now. Oh, thanks to Peter Killier. Drop me a note in. If you want to go to Peter Killier's site, it's manxscenes.com. Terrific photography site, manxscenes.com. And there are some great aerial shots of Glenn Willen, Glenn Moore and Kurt Michael and the Kurt Michael coastal erosion. That's manxscenes.com if you want to see some aerial shots of that. And let's see. Oh, Eric's on now. Hi, Eric.
Hi, I just wanted to talk about the salt works you were talking about before.
Yeah.
It's
if you go out to the point of air and turn right to where the cars park, you'll still see some of the metal and concrete there from where the salt works were. And if you remember, the Grand Island Hotel, before it was called the Grand Island, was called the Hydro, because they took the water, the salt water, from the pipeline, and right. That was a Hydro Hotel where people used to go to. My grandfather and his brother both worked at the salt works, and grandfather's brother broke both his legs in the place of where the shipyard is now, and got very little compensation because it just wasn't the money around that time, or there wasn't the laws around.
When did the salt works go?
I can't tell you offhand, but if somebody or anybody wants to, if they go on to the Manx Nostalgia Facebook page and put in the salt works, and there's a lot of pictures I put on there, photographs of the salt works and the people who used to work there. So it's all on them sites.
Okay. All right, Eric, appreciate that. Thanks
for
calling.
The other thing I just wanted to say, Wolf was on last week about he should have a dig in and clean the beach in Ramsey.
Yeah.
All the excuses he have. Well, I'm in Malaga, Torremolinos at the minute. Every morning, the beach in Torremolinos is cleaned with a digger, all flattened, so it's nice sand. All the seaweed and stones are taken away, and right up to the point of the little bits of seaweed, there was gangs of workers there removing old seaweed. So I don't see any reason why that couldn't be done in Ramsey or any of the other beaches in the Isle of Man.
What's the weather like in Torremolinos?
It's only 28 degrees today, you know, so I'm feeling a bit cold.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. Thanks for nothing. Okay.
Okay, then.
Cheers now. All right, let's go to Peter, who's with us now. Hi, Peter.
Hi. A couple of weeks ago, I had went to see, I had a meeting down, like an open day meeting at the Lancashire Commissioners in our local MHKs.
Yeah, go ahead.
And we inquired about what was happening with the Laxey Beach. I live overlooking the Laxey Beach, and there was a digger down there for a couple of days, and one wagon and a plow. And basically, all they did was they shifted the stones from one end of the beach of the promenade to the other end. They never actually took them away. So obviously they're all just going to come back again. But it doesn't really matter anyway, because the MHK said they were just waiting for now for the final documentation to come through, because they've already decided that they're going to build the wall higher. And they're also going to build a wall across the road opposite the old pipe factory.
So how high is the wall going to be?
Well, some people tell me it's going to be over a metre at one end. Higher, but it's not going to cure nothing, because in 5-10 years time that stone is just going to build up again, and then they're going to build another wall higher.
Well, surely they know that. I mean, surely they know that you won't be able to stop it. You put a wall there, the stuff will just build up against it. So they must have a reason for building the wall.
I don't know, but a few months ago when this all first started down in Laxey, we went to another open meeting, me and a couple of friends of mine, and we asked some of the people that were designing this and whatever, and we mentioned this to him about it building up again, and he sort of just shrugged his shoulders, and he basically said, well, they made up their mind what they want, and that's what we're going to do.
Good grief.
And the same thing is happening down here. I've just come along Douglas Promenade now. They've got the same wagon that they had on Laxey Beach, and they've got one digger down there. And all they're doing is they're digging out at one point, and they're piling it up in another place. They're not removing it at all. It's just a waste of taxpayers' money.
So what's the answer, though? What do we have to do then? Do we just give in and let it build up, or are we forever building walls?
Take the stone away. You know, take the stone away. When I was a kid in Laxey, like, you had about half a dozen steps down onto the beach. So, I mean, the wall is still there. It's just it needs it taken away and recycling. All these people are into recycling. why not take it away and use it for your work on the roads or whatever, sell it, you know? It's like, I come along Douglas Promenade quite often, and you've got that digger, and it's piling the seaweed up into piles, and it's washing it back in. What is the use of that? What a waste of money and time.
Okay, all right, Peter, thanks for that report. Good to hear from you.
Okay, bye.
4 minutes to one now. CC says, Andy, I've been trying to alert people about the pandemic treaty, so I'm pleased Julian rang in. We need to opt out. So, we'll see. Regarding coastal erosion, Adrian said, although the average is a loss of a metre per year, the erosion greatly increases during heavy rainfall events or gales, spring tides and storm surges. So, the severe weather in January and February in 2014 caused up to...
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
8 metres of some northwest coastal land to be lost. 8 metres, what's that? 25 odd feet in January and February 2014. Well, it's not going to get any better. Let's just put it that way. Thanks, Adrian. Good to hear from you. So what do we do about it? It's going to cost a lot of money to put right, and we don't know whether putting it right will make it right elsewhere. So please, not a committee. Please, is it going to be consultants? It's going to be millions of pounds. So what do we do? Well, maybe we'll chat about that tomorrow, because we're live at Queen's Pier in Ramsey. Hope to see you there. Hope to see if you can pop along. Say hello. All the great and the good will be there, and so will I. Thanks to Chris Quirk and Ben Hartley and Howie Kane today.
WINT.